All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
All right, hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya. So, basically, this 67-year-old guy, Madison Square Garden, he's in the squared circle. He's in his corner, bare-knuckle fight, and then about 30 members of the family who are related to the victims. And then it's 30 on one. And you put sponsorship, Red Bull, put Golden Palace tattoos. You can sell Golden Palace tattoos to everybody. It'd be a sold-out crowd, a pay-per-view, and the money that is generated, you could pay for child cancer research. Or whatever that, or give us a refund. You know how they're talking about a refund? I mean, I would 1,000,000% get behind this. And I don't know if I would subscribe to it. I don't know if I could watch that. But
and some developing news.
That is interesting.
What news tonight? South Carolina has executed a man that the key witness for the prosecution claims was innocent. Now, his last chance to...
All right, that's a different story. I thought it was the same story, but it's not. Netflix would be all over that. More viewers than the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. A lot of people would love that. Linda says, contrary to my name, I'm not signing up for that. Well, I understand that. It's not for everybody. Bob says, send him down in the sub... like the Titan sub. I thought about that too, but you got to realize he wouldn't feel any pain. Yoda World says just put him in the old cow smasher. I'm not sure what that is. A little bit more about this execution. In a filing last week asking the South Carolina Supreme Court to halt the execution, his legal team noted the state's autopsy report for a guy who had been put to death previously by lethal injection last month. He was, they put 10 grams of pentobarbital into his system. He died with his lungs massively swollen with blood and fluid, akin to drowning. So I think that they were saying that that's a barbaric way to go. So this guy who's going to be put to death, he said, I don't want to die like that. Just shoot me. So barring a last-minute reprieve, the return of a firing squad execution is also raising questions about whether it is ushering a new yet old chapter in America's youth of the death penalty. Now, I was reading in this that a century ago, Nevada executed a prisoner using an automated machine that fired the bullets so that no person had to. I don't know why they wouldn't do that again, because there is some psychological issues here if you're going to have marksmen, several of them, there to shoot the guy dead. Now, one of them has a blank, so it leaves the possibility that the thinking that you didn't fire the fatal bullet, but I don't know, man. I like the idea. If you don't want to stress out the shooters who are doing that, like that, because that could screw somebody up, especially if it's a younger person. If it's someone under 40 who's doing the shooting, people under 40 are very weak. It's just a fact of life. It's the way it is. So any of you who are listening who are under 40, you're in, it's being described as the weakest generation. And people over 40, like me, are America's toughest generation. You know, we would suffer broken necks on the playground. We would shake off paralysis. It was no big deal. But the weakest generation, 40 and under, them to be firing weapons at a man, they're probably going to shoot the guy and then immediately open fire on everyone who's watching the execution because their brains are going to be fried. So you have to be very, very careful. So they're going to have those people that are executing the guy and then several other people with their guns on the ones who are firing on the guy. And in the event that they go crazy, they will then open fire on those guys. And then, you know, you keep working your way back. It's done in an arena, by the way. It's the center. You go higher up a level and just shoot the guy in front of you. So when it's all said and done, there could be like 3,000 or 4,000 people dead. It's a fact. Let's see. Can you imagine, though, in addition to what I said about the pay-per-view of the beating, there was a scene in a movie with Bruce Willis and a young Jack Black. The film is called The Jackal, where Jack Black is running, and because Bruce says he wants him to help him train his targeting system, and he's running. And he goes, yeah. And then he ends up shooting him with his big round, and he explodes. It's crazy. They should actually get in Abrams' tank. And what would happen to a guy when you actually shoot him with a tank round? I mean, you want to talk about, that's an effective way of killing somebody. That is going to do the trick. And, you know, you put the guy like about 30 feet away. So he's just obliterated. Or just cover his body in grenades and pull the pin. And they all just go off. There's about a billion in one creative ways you can do it. And if it was a Netflix special, you could have like it into a series. So episode one is him spinning the wheel of death, and whatever it comes up on, it could be, in the ring in Madison Square Garden. It could be tank, could be hand grenade jacket. And then depending on what it lands on, then the next episode is them preparing him. And then it culminates episode four, is he actually gets blown up. My God. And the amount of money generated from that, it would be great. Tyler says they could make a Mythbusters-like series about it. Jeremy says, it's true, I'm a pussy, I'm 35. Starman suggests putting him in the firing path of a warthog. Starman says, I've seen footage of someone taking a 50 caliber round to the face. Imagine a Gallagher concert ending. Yeah, those rounds on those 50 cals, they're like this long. And like this big around. I cannot wait till I get up north to Grayling again. Because that's a regular, that's like the soundtrack of my summer. Because the property is not near in artillery range. It is butted up against two in artillery range. So you'll hear them fly over and then you'll hear that. And that's around 30 rounds blowing something up in the artillery range. It's fantastic. And then they'll be way up in the sky and you'll hear them like, oh. And you look and you can just see a tiny speck of a warthog way up there. It's like, oh, my God, there it is. And then it kind of turns and descends slowly down. Bob says the A-10. Thunderbolt 2, greatest plane ever built. I think they're trying to discontinue them, by the way. They've established other air-to-ground fighting planes. Idiot. All right. I got to get some sponsors here. I haven't done a one. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage invites you to reach out if you want to get started in getting your mortgage. Okay, you're paying rent to some loser. No, knock it off. It's time to get a house. Get pre-approved by calling Mario, 231-332-6505. He can help you out. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. This is a sponsor that you can engage from any place in the U.S. I have a lot of sponsors like that. Call, mention my name, and get started today. 231-332-6505. Tag Accounting. Online at tagcpa.net. I just got my taxes done the other day. You can take advantage of this great service. Again, from anywhere in the U.S. Let's say you live in Illinois and you want Troy to do your taxes. You upload your documents to his online portal, and away you go. To get started, just call. Lisa will pick up, or Troy, 616-301-9516, 616-301-9516. Tag Accounting, online at tagcpa.net. Sorry. I got a bunch of a big jug of cold water here that I keep hitting, like drinking, and it's helping me with my throat. So if you hear a lot, I mean, my pauses are normally pretty long on this show, but if you hear one that's exceptionally long, it's because of that. I sometimes get into my own head when I look at, like, because when I get done with the podcast, the audio is displayed on the computer screen. Like, you can see the waves. It's called a waveform. And there is no waveform when I'm pausing. And it always, I'm like, oh, I should delete those. So I start and I go, if I delete all of my pauses, this 2-hour podcast is going to be like 6 minutes. So that's and I'm like, just stop it. They're used to it, you know? Typically I'm reading some of your comments, which is why I oftentimes bust balls about when the comments get, bogarted. See Tophus, who, I don't know, I think we might have broken him. I don't recall what in the world happened that caused him to bail, but do any of you remember the last Tophus incident where we busted his balls? He strikes me as the type that when we pick on him, he has to, like, put the show away for extended time before he comes back. I know that recently there was something that happened. There was when he said bullets explode when they hit water, and then he vanished. And then when he comes back, he got his balls busted again. And I don't know. I don't think he's taking it that well. Chris says, easy, you're by yourself. It's better than stumbling around saying useless stuff to fill time. Thank you. I appreciate that. He says, give yourself a break. Give yourself some grace, big fraud. Tyler says, your show would sound like wet pussy mouth Justin's podcast if you started cutting out all of the pauses. You're right. Tyler says, I don't remember what exactly got him going, but I do remember it was Friday last week because I made a joke about him peacing out for 2 to 3 business days after a moment of stupidity. Cole says he just has an extreme case of Trump derangement syndrome and his brain is hurting. I do think that that's part of it. You know, with Trump winning, Sometimes people, they can't, you know, handle that as well as like someone like me who kind of tries to take that in stride. You know, I did not vote for Trump. I hope he does well. But I can't say that I care for much of what he's done. Some of the things I can appreciate from my background, me being right of center fiscally, but left of center culturally. In fact, I was talking with Nick about this. Cutting government waste is actually something that I support. A lot of these government positions that have been cut out, I'm like, well, of course. That's how it goes. I've been in an industry for the past 30 years is like that. We had a bot in here. I just got rid of it. Chris says, I'm about as left-leaning as anyone, but you can't take that stuff so serious. It's almost always political with Tofus, I feel like. Yeah, dude, you got to relax. You've got to relax. It's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. I have now 100% changed my opinion about Ukraine. My opinion on Ukraine when that all started was we have to defend Ukraine to keep Putin from becoming Adolf Hitler because he's going to take Ukraine and then he's going to continue taking other countries. That's what I believe. I no longer believe that. I no longer believe that after Ukraine, when he takes that, and he is, that he will continue on attacking other countries. So now I'm like, all right, I cannot get behind throwing billions of dollars to be in a proxy war. Starman says, I have family in Ukraine. That must be terribly scary. Then he says, I should send them a copy of Red Dawn. The first one or the remake? The first one was incredible. I remember seeing that when I was a kid. It wasn't incredible. It was shit. But when you're young and you see that, you're like, oh my God, yes, Wolverines, Wolverines. Wasn't Swayze in that? He had that badass Cheyenne pickup short box. Oh, fucking shit. What was I going to talk about? I forgot. Oh, one of the local TV stations who I've worked with quite a bit in the past, Fox 17. They're the ones who cover the Great Food Giveaway. They've been very, very kind to me. I just visited them a handful of months ago to promote the Great Food Giveaway. Now, TV is not that different than radio. When it comes to they're, you know, making ends meet and earning money and you know, not as many people are watching. And in the case of TV, watching. And in the case of radio, listening. But I guess they had like a Black Wednesday over there at Fox 17. My pal Zach Herrig, who used to be there, now he still works locally. I think he works for one of the school districts, Hamilton Schools, and he also works at Berlin Raceway, who is coming back on the podcast with me here as a key sponsor. He writes, I am absolutely devastated to hear about the layoffs at Fox 17, firing several people who gave decades to that station. They completely shut down the sports department. So it's so bad that, you know how it was back in the day, like the 6 o'clock news, like Bill Bonds would start, you know, you do the news and then eventually you get to the weather forecast and then, all right, let's go to the sports desk. Like Champ Kine from Anchorman. And you give a sports report. They're not doing that anymore. I don't know, man. I don't know where, if they're cutting actually into the programming that they would do, just to make ends meet and firing those people. What the fuck, man? Chris says Dole's bananas on wood. I always knew that the end was near for TV when the sports guy who used to just do the sports broadcast, he was actually going to the various sporting events with the camera to shoot the video. And then he's got to bring the camera back to the sports station or to the TV station and edit all the shit. And so basically his work day was 20 hours for a 3-hour sportscast. And he'd do it like at 5:30, 6, 10, 11, 12, 1 a.m. And he basically would just sleep at the TV station. And then, excuse me, your pay was like $11,000 every 5 years. Champ Kine was the best. David Koechner. I love that guy. I met him at the radio station. He came into WBBL, the guy who played Champ. Nicest guy you'd ever meet. And he was doing a gig at Dr. Grin's. And he was just like a, yeah, you can hang out with me type of dude. Here's his star of the screen. I always find that cool when someone who is super famous, for the most part, is like down to earth. Nick with the great line, oh no, where will I get my who gives a shit high school sports scores? That's right. You know, again, this is another industry that has been decimated by the phone. I've talked about this many times. We don't need it anymore. We don't need weather people. We don't need sports people. When Trump laid off the weather people, I was like, there was 11,800 of them. He laid 1,800 of them off. Or President Musk did. I'm like, no, we need more. You need to lay off more weather people. One person needs to be working in that group. All right. So a 20-year-old bodybuilder is dead. Jody Vance is her name. Now, here's the problem with lady bodybuilding. Well, with any bodybuilding, really. It wreaks havoc on your body. It isn't just you're in shape and you're extremely healthy. No, the day that you're actually doing the big pose down, you know, you've deprived yourself of fluids so that you're as dehydrated as possible so that your muscles show out as much as possible. 20-year-old Jody Vance died from dehydration. This is a picture of Jody Vance. Now, I don't know about you, but all of the stress that Jody Vance puts on her body, or did put on her body, she's now deceased, that is not the face of a 20-year-old woman. That is the face of a 45-year-old soccer mom standing next to me at the indoor soccer facility the other night, screaming for her son Oliver to make the big save. That's not normal. You shouldn't look like that. My God. Yoda World describes it as a Tampa lot lizard face, unfortunately. Starman says, such a shame when we live on a planet that is 73% water. Yeah, bodybuilding's rough. Here's some more images of her. She looks, her body looks strong as hell. She looks happy as can be here. This is probably a better time for Jody Vance. Except, you see this vein in her head there. That's a bad thing. If you have a vein in your head for no apparent reason that looks like fucking Harry Potter's scar, I would say that the future's not so bright if you've got a giant fucking vein in your forehead. Yeah, I don't know if I could. Yeah, it's a little much. I don't know, man. I think that she looks a little too big. This is what Rebecca wants to look like. This is Rebecca's goal. She wants to be jacked like this chick. All right, that's fine. But understand that you might have a vein popping out of your forehead at some point. And for the love of God, don't go the route of this chick and end up dying. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Doing some kind of poses. All right. Okay, great. Okay. Yeah, she's pretty soft here. Well, whatever the fuck. Yeah, if you don't drink water, you're going to die. Fatal heart attack. She was at a Arnold Sports Festival in Ohio. I'm guessing Arnold Schwarzenegger backs that thing. She was also a coach, was not competing in Ohio, but instead was there to support athletes under her tutelage. Her heart stopped due to complications of severe dehydration, despite all efforts by the hospital. Could not revive her. She was a beautiful person inside and out. All right, it's terribly sad. I think that's pretty normal, though, in bodybuilding. You have to wonder what substances were in her body. I think the life expectancy for the average person who's in bodybuilding, she was in the upper reaches of her life expectancy. Like most bodybuilders, they live, you know, about as long as a small dog. So I think she was considered to be quite elderly. Despite only being 20. And, but you know, there's a huge upside to being a bodybuilder. You get like a trophy and a medal. And if you're lucky, you can get like free car washes. If you get a sponsorship at the local car wash, outside of that, most bodybuilders are dead. You know who's not dead is the dad of Amon-Ra St. Brown, John Brown. He did not die, and he is, in fact, still a big-time weightlifter and helps train his son. Tyler says that's why EZ went away from the whole Mr. 10 thing. He wanted to live a longer life. Oh, yeah, I was well on my way. I mean, I was only 18 or 19 during the Mr. 10 man pageant. And the next step was Mr. Universe. So it was entirely plausible that after not even placing at Mr. 10, that after I, you know, loaded my body up with steroids, that I could have won the next event and then been subsequently dead shortly thereafter. By the way, when I was doing that, there was a substance that I used to take that is now banned. And it was called Yohimbe Bark, Y-O-H-I-M-B-E, Yohimbe Bark Extract. I'm not kidding you. They went ahead and they figured out that this stuff is like gasoline on a fire. All right? It's like the equivalent of like male growth hormone and steroids and testosterone in one thing. And you could buy it regularly at any like GNC. It was super expensive. You get it in a bottle and it's got like an eyedropper on it. And God, this shit tastes like fuck. And you lift up your tongue and you put it under your tongue and just let it like absorb into your system that way. Oh my God. And then it's like everything. You're pissed off about everything. You know, I'm like walking into the dorms, Merrill Hall. I'm all jacked. And Pooh Bear's like, hey, how is your... Fuck you! Fuck off! Suck my dick! Fuck you, bitch! Ugh. Thank God that ended. Starman says EZ has the Grim Reaper over for Thanksgiving. He's family now. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So then Pooh Bear's like, I think you should back. What is? Why are you so angry? What happened to you? What? Why are you so mad? I'm like screaming at her. She could still kick my ass though, so I didn't dare like try to beat her up. Thank God though, I'm glad I got off of that substance. I thought I was such hot shit. That one time though, I walked into the dorm room, and Skipper, who was five times stronger than me, because he's black. I walked into the dorm, and him and all of his buddies were there, and I'm the only white guy there, and they went and raided my, I had a big Foot Locker. My mother would send me snacks. I've told this story before. So I've got a bunch of, hostess shit in there, and they ate all my snacks, and then I had a bunch of pencils, and they decided to break my pencils, too, so it was total bullying. So they went through my shit, ate my stuff, and broke my pencils. And all I wanted to do was have a fucking Twinkie, and they're all gone. And they're like flaunting it. They're sitting next to the wrappers. And so I was furious. And so I started to mouth off aggressively towards them. And James, he cared about me to some degree, but I couldn't get away with that. And I'll never forget the power that I felt as he put his hand around the back of my neck. And he squeezed it so tight with one hand. And he calmly said, E, you're going to have to get over it. Now I'm going to let you go. And you're going to leave. And I just went, okay. Fuck, I was helpless. Oh, my God. And then I'm walking away, and they're calling me horrible white guy names. And he finally goes, that's enough. He was playing the good guy to their bad guy. Tyler says, in a fit of rage, EZ then jumped on the couch, ground his boots into it while saying, F your couch, N-word. No, I did not, because I am still alive to this day. Skipper, he was a track star, and he was there in a full scholarship, and he was like one of the fastest people in the entire MAC, Mid-American Conference, and I think he's dead now. Like, he went to, no shit, during one of the summers, he was hanging out in front of a house, like 2 a.m, and there was an actual drive-by. He lived in a neighborhood of Mumford High. That's where he went. Mumford, remember the T-shirt, Eddie Murphy, Mumford? He actually went to Mumford. And they're standing out in front of the fucking house. And somebody sprayed bullets into the group. And he got shot in the fucking back. And it severed his spinal cord. And he's like fucking Charlie Murphy doing Daryl Stingley. Fuck you, EZ. You better shut the fuck up, EZ. I want to fuck you up. I wanted to find him and flip him out of the fucking chair. As Charlie Murphy said, stomp your teeth. That's a great bit. Charlie Murphy on Chappelle's Show. I don't want to play it. Look it up on your own. All right. How did I get to that point? I don't know. I think I got to that from talking about that female bodybuilder. I think that's what happened. All right. Let's see. Anything on the email? I'm running out of shit to talk about. Yeah, I pretty much am exhausting everything I've wanted to talk about. Starman says he was a legend. Tyler says R.I.P. Charlie Murphy. Funnier than his brother. Both different types of funny. But Charlie telling a story. Oh, my God. Legendary. All right. I do want to mention Frank Fuss. If you need to get your insurance through healthcare.gov, do so by going to buyinsurancehere.com. Frank is a licensed independent insurance agent / broker. He can help you every step of the way getting your Obamacare set up. Now, you can do that too if you want, but it takes time and you're probably going to screw it up. Frank, it doesn't cost anything for Frank's services. So if you are in between jobs, perhaps the boss does not offer insurance or you're self-employed, or perhaps you want your family to get their insurance through the marketplace while you get your workplace insurance, you can do that. Go to buyinsurancehere.com. Frank will help you every step of the way. Buyinsurancehere.com, no matter where you are in the U.S. Grand Rapids Gold, we've got Space Jam night a week from Saturday. Get tickets at nbagrandrapids.com. The games are great. The seats are cheap. The beer is cold. The beer is expensive on a Saturday night. Friday night, you got $2 beers, $2 dogs. Hell, Thursday night, you got $2 beers, $2 dogs. But Saturday, get your tickets and come hang with me, EZ, and the Grand Rapids Gold. You can get your tickets at nbagrandrapids.com. I mentioned this on the Patreon yesterday, but I should start mentioning it again. If someone you know or love is getting ready to celebrate a birthday or an anniversary or workplace achievement or personal achievement or growth or any type of congratulations, or worse, maybe you want me to tell somebody to go F themselves. I can do that too, or break up with somebody. I don't give a shit. You can hire me on Cameo. My cameos are the absolute best. I do them all one take. They're always perfect. In fact, if someone hires me on Cameo, I'll usually hit the app here while I'm doing this show and do it live. No rehearsal. It's a smash every time, and it's going to cost you $20. Cameo.com/Eric Zane. I'm short today, so this is going to be a shorter show. Probably best because my throat's kind of on fire. Wait a minute. I think I have one more story. I do have one more story. Yes. My apologies.
The largest fentanyl drug bust.
Keep the asshole of the day in mind. But here in Grand Rapids, the police are overjoyed because there was a big fucking drug bust. Whoops. It turns out that some dickhead was like the biggest fentanyl dealer around. And when you, with fentanyl being as potent as it is, it's an opioid. And I don't know why anybody would ever want to do fentanyl, because if you even look at it, you're going to die. And drug dealers lace their heroin with fentanyl, and then people take the fucking heroin and they die. Heroin's bad enough. Why would you want to put something in it that's going to kill somebody? I don't understand yet why people do this with fentanyl. It seems like impossible to maintain. The police had the biggest fentanyl bust in the history of, like, Grand Rapids or Michigan or some shit. And the amount of fentanyl they found was only 1 pound. But what's crazy about that is there's enough, that's enough fentanyl to kill the entire population of Grand Rapids.
The largest fentanyl drug bust in Grand Rapids police history.
That's what the department is saying today after a 53-year-old man was arraigned in connection to this lethal dosage.
News 8's Megan Bunchman heard from police today about this record-breaking bust. Megan.
Brian Sue, good evening. Thousands of lives were...
Okay, it seems like Megan is their only reporter for these stories. So she was in rough shape yesterday with this mush mouth delivery. I don't know if her face is numb from Botox, but it's bad.
Brian Sue, good evening. Thousands of lives were potentially saved this week after Grand Rapids police executed 3 search warrants on Monday that resulted in a major drug bust.
Nearly 500 grams or a pound of fentanyl is off the streets this week in West Michigan.
This was a disaster of epic proportions when it happened.
Thanks to the Grand Rapids Police Department's Vice Unit and a months-long investigation into this man, 53-year-old Daryl Mitchell.
8 prior controlled substances convictions, 8 felony convictions, including a recent federal conviction in which you served a significant prison sentence, and you are currently on probation in the federal system.
Mitchell was arraigned today on a felony count of delivering or manufacturing a controlled substance that, if convicted, could send this habitual offender back behind bars for another 30 years.
For context, a lethal dose of fentanyl is as small as 2 milligrams. With this seizure, this much fentanyl had the potential to kill every resident in the city of Grand Rapids and in Granville.
Those guys got that info from me, by the way. I didn't get it from them.
Up to 250,000 people.
Court records obtained by News 8 show Mitchell pled guilty back in 2006 for a federal charge of possessing with the intent to distribute 5 kilograms of cocaine, among other drugs. And according to GRPD, he served 17 years of that conviction and was out on federal probation at the time of this latest arrest.
I can't say for sure where it came from. We know anecdotally where a lot of this comes from, right? This is ingredients from China, comes into Mexico, it's manufactured there, and somehow makes it over the border into our communities.
Grand Rapids police responded to 39 fatal overdoses in 2023 and another 30 last year. Toxicology rates indicate of those 69 deaths, 3/4 of them were a result of fentanyl exposure.
We've had over last summer, you know, in Hartside Park, we had days where we had 3, 4, 5 individuals experiencing an overdose.
Now, Mitchell's previous attorney noted during his federal sentencing nearly 2 decades ago that his, quote, days of lawbreaking are probably over. Today, a district judge set his bond at $1 million.
What is going on with her? I wonder if in doing police work, because the first thing I would think if I busted a guy like that, I wouldn't want it to get out that the bust occurred, but the police force obviously was all about making it known that, hey, look what we did. But the first thing that I would do if I'm a cop is, look, are you going to snitch? If they can get this guy to turn, all right, is there any possibility you could work your way up the food chain? That's a pretty big deal, a pound of fentanyl. And whatever. It's just like kind of like a Band-Aid on a bullet wound if you're getting that guy off the street. But if you're really concerned, you should find out where he got that from. You know, and kind of working backwards. Nick says they walked the fentanyl right over the welcome mat that was out the last 4 years. Well, it's hard to disagree with that when the cop says, yeah, that's how they do it. It's made over, the ingredients come from different countries. In this case, the suggestion was China. And then the people who know how to make drugs or make this shit, make it, and then it comes into the United States. Nick adds, they should be waterboarding the source or the shit out of him right now. Trying to, okay, so waterboarding is now okay. I actually don't have a problem with that. Tyler says Megan Bunchman was in far better form here compared to yesterday. Not great, but great for her. Chris says 8 previous convictions. Let's get that firing squad going here in Michigan. All right. So what are we going to do for Asshole of the Day, folks? Anybody know? No, I'm not putting Tofus as the Asshole of the Day. If we were doing Crybaby of the Day, perhaps. No, it's not Tofus, goddammit. Come on, guys. Let's see. We can have this guy dealing the fentanyl. That is your Asshole of the Day. Folks, I appreciate you. Sorry that I'm a little lean. Sometimes that happens. But there's your Asshole of the Day, that fentanyl dealer. And enjoy the next 30 years in prison. Granville drug kingpin is another great way to describe him. Okay, but I'm glad the cops got him. You know, excellent work there. Donut Dan says, Asshole of the Day, weak-ass prosecutors. Yoda World says, appreciate you right back. Have a good one. Chris says, it's noon, LOL. Yeah, I know, but I started late. I started late. So I've only got an hour and 41 listed here. I don't like to go that short on a show, but sometimes when I'm lean on content, I don't want to like force the issue and just waste your time. Either way, I'll be back after I regroup. Come up with some fun things to talk about for the Patreon bonus podcast. It's always a good time. We'll talk to you then. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. And then tonight, don't forget about that. The Who Are These Free Beers show at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And then the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. So that's it for now from here. Thank you, folks. Have a good one. Bye-bye.